The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Hour two of the Starting Lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal. We're Will West, Tyler Ivins, Eric Kane here with you. Colorado State with a disturbing report that came out yesterday, if you didn't see this. Local news out of Fort Collins saying, quoting nine players and one football staffer, is saying that the school has been pressuring players to hide COVID symptoms, who have told players if they get quarantined because of COVID issues, they'll lose playing time, and also changing contact tracing reports so that players who don't have symptoms can still practice. My goodness, this is an ugly situation. If you want to know who the coach is at Colorado State, it's Steve Adazio, who was the offensive coordinator at Florida after Dan Mullen left for Mississippi State under Urban Meyer. He went to Boston College, where there were problems with players at Boston College as well. He was exactly 500 at BC, somehow gets a Colorado State job this offseason. Now, we have seen three current players who have said it's not true. And a Denver Post reporter says that other players have reached out to him as well, saying that's not true. Tyler, an associate athletics director for communications for Colorado State, put out like a tweet thread trying to discredit the writer. Now, at no point in time did he say it didn't happen. He just said that the president of the university was only asked about this once during the process of, you know, trying to get a comment from them, and he didn't give a comment at the time, which I don't know how you were. Well, he was asked about it. How many times do you need to go ask somebody?
To
give you a comment on a story. And then he also shared a piece from another Fort Collins media outlet where players said, coaches have done a good job. We were really worried about this for a while, but it seems like they've gotten on board with it. That is not the same thing as it didn't happen. And frankly, it kind of may corroborate the first portion of the report, which is maybe they did these things weeks ago, and then somehow in the last week or so is when they got on board with actually doing the right thing as far as COVID and things like that. The university, the president of the university, the athletics director released a statement saying they will have an internal investigation into what Steve Adazio's done and the way that they've handled this. If it's found to have happened, Steve Adazio's going to lose his dang job. And this is just kind of, yeah, and he should. And he's probably going to get fired with cause. And so you're not going to have to pay him a penny to get him out of there. Eric, I want to ask you, though, if you don't care, am I wrong to look at this and say, well, oh, Steve Adazio's doing this? Of course Steve Adazio's doing this. But it ain't like Colorado State's the only place this is happening.
No, I mean, if it's happening at one place, it's happening at, you know, sadly, it's probably happening at a couple others, maybe even more than that. And I think you pointed this out earlier in the program. You know, we're talking high school, we're talking college. You know, there are, you know, 95% of the coaches are doing it the right way and you know, and all this stuff. But sadly, there's probably a small portion that are not doing it the correct way or not doing enough to where, you know, what you should be doing right now during this global pandemic while we're trying to bring sports back. So I don't think you're off base by saying that at all, that there are probably other coaches and other programs that are doing the same thing.
Yeah, Tyler, my concern is we have incentivized hiding positive COVID tests, not doing what we need to as far as contact tracing. We've incentivized that in the world of football right now.
My concern is this. What happens if you continue to overlook this? What happens if nobody steps forward and actually lays out some type of punishment plan? Because I feel like during COVID-19, it is having to take other people to initiate or take the lead on, here's how we're going to handle things. We're going to take a break here. We'll schedule this. We'll start eliminating this. It's taking one or two individuals from different sports to kind of lead the domino effect to begin for other sports then to jump in line and go, hey, yeah, that seems like a great plan. Let's do it. So who's going to be the first program franchise to get on board and go, here is what's going to happen? Who's going to be the first league to say, if you are caught cheating and trying to swap out tests, be negative that are positive or vice versa, whatever it may be to benefit you competition-wise, there are no penalties less than blank. So in the NCAA, if you find out that a coach, I understand that they're all their own separate entities, who is going to end up being the first university that finds wrongdoing, can find the hard evidence that they need. Maybe it's in Fort Collins. Maybe it's not. And they say, Adazio, thanks, we appreciate it, but what you're doing here to gain the advantage during a global pandemic is not what we is not representative of what we want here at Colorado State. Move on and be gone with you. I don't know what else there is to do besides somebody else going, well, they didn't punish him that severely at this program, so we shouldn't do the same thing here. Who's going to be the first one to find wrongdoing, grow a set, and go, the long-term ramifications, if we were to find out that we covered this up, don't equal out to try to save you from a 7-5 season or in a 10-game schedule going 5-5 this year. I'm sorry, we got to let you go.
Yeah, and think about it. What it's going to take is this. It's going to take staffers and it's going to take players going to the media and whistleblowing.
And nobody's going to do that because they have loyalty to the coaching staff that hired them.
Also, frankly, in a lot of college towns, you're probably going to have to go outside of the major. Look, I know I mentioned this a number of times, and I'm not just saying that to be like, no town rocks like Boston when the rock band's in Boston. We are really, really blessed in a college town like Knoxville to have media members that will say it and that will report it and that will do those things. And yeah, the old school, especially the old guard, they're especially willing to do it. And that you do not get that anywhere else. Everybody else, you know, bends the knee and kisses the ring and go along to get along and the virtually just a PR firm arm of the team that they cover. So that's what's tough is that who is the reporter you can reach out to at Clemson? Who's the reporter that you can reach out to in Lexington, Kentucky? Who's the reporter that you can reach out to in Athens, Georgia? Those are the, like, Knoxville, there's a reason why we have guys like Jimmy and Hubs and guys like that that have won award after award after award because they will say it and you can go to them. It's going to be a lot tougher in some of these smaller towns where you're going to have to go outside the market. But that's what it's going to take, is it's going to take whistleblower players and staffers saying, this is wrong, and we've got a pandemic issue. Because you've got crazy guys like Gundy that, you know what I mean, that think that it's a hoax. So you're going to have coaches that do that, and a lot of coaches are insulated. And so, and frankly, they're not the most well-informed about things that happen in life. So it's you're just going to see that. And so what has to happen is you're going to have one, players that go public with it, because just simply going to the university and trying to keep it in-house is not going to get anything done. You'll just get it buried. And if you still see, like this associate athletics director for communications for Colorado State, if you're seeing this for Steve Adazio, who's never won a game for Colorado State yet, and he is a 500 coach coming from Boston College that's a retread and he wasn't particularly good there, and players wanted him gone at Boston College too.
Sure.
If you see the school stand for him, or at least an associate athletics director stand for him, and try to discredit reporting without once saying that it's wrong, how much more for a guy who's won a national championship are you going to see the school do that type of thing?
See, I think I already know the answer to this question, so I want you to sit on it during the break when we come back. If you're Will West, athletics director of fill-in-the-blank university, which I hear fill-in-the-blank university is a prestigious university.
How does it pay? That's the question.
Yeah, exactly. If you are athletics director Will West at fill-in-the-blank university, and you find somebody is messing with COVID-positive tests, or they're trying to game the system or cheat the corners, you lay out the punishment. What I've been asking for is who's the first program, who's the first leader of this university athletic department, wherever it is, who's going to be the person who is going to set the stern punishment that creates the domino effect that can actually start putting some safety protocols in order to make sure that player safety is first. We're hearing David Price and others complain about it in the MLB. We're starting to see some issues with it with the National Football League with many opt-outs. What are you going to do when it comes to college football, when it comes to these coaches doing whatever it takes to win at all costs? I want you to set the punishment at your university, Will, hypothetically, on the other side. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. I'm sure there are some coaches that are in their car right now driving to wherever they're heading for their day-to-day or drawing up whatever they're doing on their dry erase board in their office right now, and they're probably thinking in their head, if I caught somebody doing this, I'd either slap them on the wrist or give them the hammer. Where would Will West decide what is the proper punishment? We decide next, 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
The SEC has moved the start of fall football practices from Friday to August 17th. Following the conference's announcement to play a 10-game league-only schedule, That'll kick off September 26th. Teams will be allowed up to 14 hours per week for strength and conditioning, meetings, and walkthroughs beginning Friday and running through the 16th. The Sun Belt Conference has approved a football schedule that includes 8 league games and up to 4 non-conference games for the football season. The league is set to begin Labor Day weekend, but games can be moved up to Week 0 on August the 29th. Knox County Schools announced they will delay the start of classes until August 24th. Jesse Smith, the 5-star preps, reports, however, that there's been no change to the Week 1 football schedule as of right now. Meanwhile, Greenville has canceled its Week 1 matchup against Powell, which was set to take place on August 21st, as this program is currently in a shutdown until the 10th of August. The Green Devils will be searching for a replacement game during the open week on September the 25th. Major League Baseball announced that when rosters are reduced from 30 players to 28 on Thursday, it will remain at 28 for the remainder of the regular season. The initial plan was for rosters to again be cut down to 26 players in 2 weeks. And a score of note, the Braves got back in the win column with a 10-1 thumping of the Blue Jays last night. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion for education in Tennessee. It's 7:14. We'll get a check of the roads with Pete Michaels Traffic. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
Hey, late.
He was once busted for performance-enhancing drugs during a cornhole tournament. Will West in the starting lineup on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Starting lineup is back on your radio now at 99.1, The Sports Animal. And also worldwide through the app you can download for free. iPhone users, you can check it out through the Apple App Store. Android users through the Google Play Store. Tyler Ivins, Will West at 656-9900 on the Stanley Vincent Gates hotline. All right, so Will, I've given you an opportunity to review the documents you have found out at your university, fill-in-the-blank university, that Eric Kane has been cheating the system. Eric Kane has been trading out positive tests for negative tests. He's been sending players in, not as the players who are being tested positives. And he has been on the side telling players, if you quarantine or if the allegations are true about him, not whistleblowing, that his playing time will be cut in half. You have been deemed, you've deemed Eric Kane to be guilty. What are your findings and what's the punishment that you would have in place? Both on the college level and on a commissioner's level, because I'm intrigued how you would handle things come to the NFL without the bubble this fall.
So the biggest thing that I would – here's the unfortunate part. The coach holds more power than the athletics director of most places. So, I mean, there are places that that's not the case. Tennessee, that's not the case. Wisconsin's not the case. A couple other places that's not the case. But otherwise, that is the case. Greg Byrne can't do a dang thing to Nick Saban. They'll blow him out in a heartbeat. I mean, so Joe Oliva, we saw what happened when he tried to punish Will Wade, right? Like,
right.
It just is the way that it goes. So the first thing you do as an athletics director is you bring in somebody independent outside. That's the first thing you do. You don't do it in an internal investigation. You bring somebody independent outside to look at the school and say, okay, investigate us. We're going to spend this money, because if the coach pushes back on you having an independent investigation, then the coach is going to, in the court of public, the coach is just pretty much at that point admitting guilt. So they're not going to push back on that, and that's how you get this caught. And you get the coach caught, you get them red-handed. It also probably immediately forces them to clean things up, and that's the biggest thing that you want. If I was a conference commissioner, I would have already, I told you, I would have already put in mandates and with punishments to them. And the problem is, no one wants to hurt a working relationship by making someone feel like they're threatened. But I would have put into place, if you do this, you're suspended for a year. I don't care who you are at the beginning. Wow. Like, if anything's not reported, you're done for a year. If I was the NCAA and if I was Mark Emmert, now we don't have leadership with Mark Emmert in the NCAA, I would have gone publicly over and over again all summer and said, any coach who's found to be suppressing these types of things, they will get a 3-year show cause. They will get a 5-year show cause. This is what we're going to do. I would have painted the presidents of the universities into a corner, the board of governors into a corner, where they don't have a choice because it's going to look bad in the court of public opinion if they did try to say, no, we're not going to do this. And again, the key is you've got to make the punishment hard enough that no one would ever dare think to do this again. And once you do that, that's how you clean something up. And so that's what I would have done from an NCAA standpoint. Is if I was Mark Emmert, I would have done the rounds on every TV show that wanted to have me in the media, every radio show in a big college town that wanted to have me in the media, and I would have said, we got to punish people who cheat, and let's make sure we're going to do things on the up and up. We care about integrity. You're going to get hit with a 5-year show cost if you do this. And it would make it where no one would ever dream or dare insinuate that we're going to cover up COVID testing. Because, look, it's Colorado State's the tip of the iceberg at the end of the day. But that's how I would handle this.
On an NFL level, and just to give you, just to remind you the handout of the punishment so you have something to go off of, the Deflategate punishment for the New England Patriots, Brady was suspended 4 games, New England was fined $1 million, and they were docked 2 draft choices. Eric Kane is the head coach of an NFL franchise. And you find out he's been swapping tests or sending players in who are not who they say they are to test negative of a player who is clearly showing symptoms and it will come back positive. If you find out that that's the case and you're Roger Goodell, what's the punishment for an NFL team? We already know what it was for deflating PSIs and air out of footballs. What would it be for trying to cheat or copy some type of negative COVID test?
And if you remember from some of the punishments that we've seen in the last CBA, the commissioner has broad authority to impose any punishment that the commissioner wants to impose. You're Pete Rose. That's it. There's no second chance. You're Pete Rose. You don't get to buy a ticket. That's how you do it. I mean, because here's the thing. It would have to be systemic for a coach to get away with in the NFL. That's why I just think it's far more likely that a player hides it than it is that a coach or an athletics training team or the GM hides it or somewhere like that. I would Pete Rose you. If you get caught doing this, the key is don't be dumb enough to do this. When I used to manage bars, one thing that I would do is I would just say, I would work with whoever my boss was and say, here are the rules. Once you've broken the rules, you fired yourself at that point. I didn't fire you, right? You've got a huge, broad area that you can live in. Once you live in this other area, you've done it to yourself. I would Pete Rose them. I would just say, I don't need you in the sport of football anymore. Go somewhere else. You need us more than we need more than we need you. There's nobody that you can't replace in the National Football League. Not a single human being. And so if you lay that out ahead of time of you're Pete Rose if you do this, no Hall of Fame, no anything, no nothing. You can't even buy a ticket to Canton. They'll know not to do it, and nobody will do it. And that's what you have to do, is you have to lay a punishment out that's so ridiculously severe that no one would ever think about it. Because the problem is this: if there was a club that systemically tried to hide contact tracing changing contact tracing reports, hiding positive tests, you're putting the entire season and the entire league at risk. It's what, $20 billion that you're putting at risk? No, thank you. You're not doing that. So I would Pete Rose you.
See, I wish we could actually play a sport where the empire is ruled by you, because then we probably would not have had as many PED positive tests or accusations of PEDs running rampant in sports, and maybe we never see Spygate. Maybe there's never a Deflategate under the ruling of Will West.
But then again, maybe baseball would have died then, though, you know?
No. Well, baseball needed it. You're right. But I think it would have come back. But here's the thing. You'd have had somebody do it once. You know what I mean? And then no one would ever think to do it again.
The two-time A-Rods?
Yeah, you would never see a second time, because the second time would just be your ban from baseball. That's what it is. And honestly, though, I definitely would have broken the umpires union. Like, that'd have been my first order of business if I was Rob Manfred, is I'd have broken the umpires union. My second order of business would have been, okay, we're going to come up with something legitimate that works for the financials. I would have told the owners, open your books up. We're going to do a 50-50 revenue split with the players. We're putting a hard salary cap based on the 50-50 revenue split with the players. Dang. That's the second thing that I would have done. And I think the baseball would be in better shape. But Eric makes a good point. Without McGuire and Sosa, I don't know where baseball would have been.
Do you want to be his campaign manager, Kaner? Do you want to find a way to try to get him in office? Because I think you guys could run some awesome political ads, a lot better than some of the political ad garbage that's being run right now.
I was going to say that shouldn't be hard to do in some cases. Not.
Well, Eric and I have ever done a push-up, so if we act like we're tough, at least we're ahead of the guys that are currently out there acting like they're tough on these TV ads all the time.
That is true.
That's Will West. Eric Cade back in the Budweiser studios. Tyler Ivins. All right, we've buttered him up. Now we get to decide which way he's going to lean. It's 1-1 after a couple of days of TSL's five burning questions. We'll find out who grabs game number three on the other side. 99.1, you're listening to the Esports Animal.
I'm VFL Charles Davis, and it's
52 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go home!
Tyler Ivins, Will West, got five burning questions coming up. And I have a feeling that I've got my work cut out for me unless my co-host says something ridiculous like Roger Clemens isn't a Hall of Famer. Then I actually feel like I might have a chance after the last couple of performances I've had over the last couple of weeks. I need as much help as possible.
Hand my hands up, Ivins. Kenley Jansen, back in the day, you guys had to inform me, because I am not the baseball fan I used to be, that it no longer matters how many wins you have for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Kenley Jansen used to, if you got 300 saves, you're a Hall of Famer. Is Kenley Jansen a Hall of Famer? He's at over 300 now.
Nope.
Because that used to be the magic number for saves as well.
Sure. Kenley Jansen's not a Hall of Famer. Kenley Jansen's got a great story. Kenley Jansen didn't know how to throw more than just one or two pitches as a catcher, put him behind the plate, and then they realized he couldn't hit. And then he added like 4 to 7 miles an hour on his fastball, and they're like, my goodness, this guy can be a closer.
But Eric Kane, where are you at, Kaner? Is Kenley Jansen a Hall of Famer?
To be completely honest, when you say Hall of Famer and Kenley Jansen, I immediately don't think the two go together, but I haven't looked into the stats to kind of do my background, but just first glance, when you say Hall of Fame, Kenley Jansen, I say no.
Yeah, I would immediately say no as well, but again, up until at least a half decade ago, you had 300 saves, you're in the Hall of Fame. That's what it was, right? He's at 302 right now. I think he's 26th on the current saves, all-time saves list. But we didn't have guys that weren't on steroids that were saving 50 games a year. That didn't used to happen, right? We had there were these things that for the young baseball fan out there called complete games that people used to pitch back in the day. So,
I mean, unless you're Kyle Hendricks, you don't pitch those anymore, right?
No, you do not.
There is not a current pitcher in Major League Baseball that is, in my opinion, a Hall of Famer. And that includes, at the closer position, that includes Craig Kimbrell. Craig Kimbrell's not a Hall of Famer. He's close. He needs to start getting the ball down at Wrigley.
I mean, he hadn't helped himself out the last couple of years.
No, he is not.
He is not. I'm just trying to think to myself right now, who pitching right now who's a closer would I consider a Hall of Famer? And I bet if I looked at his numbers, the discussion can be had he's not a Hall of Famer. It's not Kimbrell. It's not Kenley Jansen.
If it's not Kimbrell, I don't think it's anybody right now.
It's not Chapman. It's not. And the thing about it is, the only argument somebody could say to me right now is either you're a total Braves homer or you could use my own work against me and say, but you refer to the Hall of Fame as the Hall of Very Good. Craig Kimbrell's a very good closer. He's not elite. So maybe in that category, sure, Craig Kimbrell does get in. But just having weird motions and deliveries and electric stuff for a five-year period, you don't get put in the Hall of Fame for being the best for 5 years. You should get put in the Hall of Fame for being the best at your position during your time. And maybe Craig Kimbrell falls under that. But was there ever a time where Craig Kimbrell was far and away the best closer in baseball? There was debate that there was somebody else up there.
There is not. Now, like by the end of this year, Kenley Jansen will have passed. As long as he doesn't get injured, Kenley Jansen will probably have passed Craig Kimbrell on the saves list. He'll probably be in the top 15 all time next year. He probably cracks the top 10. It'll be interesting to see because we don't see very many save compilers, but that's kind of what Kenley Jansen is a save compiler.
I just got done looking at Jansen's numbers, and I think a lot of people would go, but Bruce Sutter, he's going to pass Goose Gossage. These guys that he was passing, and the reason why they're Hall of Famers is because they were throwing multiple innings. If they were going, if these closers were coming in the seventh and getting 9-ounce saves, then yeah. If Kimbrell, I'm looking right now, Kimbrell's 13th all time, 346. If 55-60% of those saves are more than first, more than three out saves, then I'd say Kimbrel's a surefire Hall of Famer. But the you know, the generation where we've gone through of starters go six, find your seventh, find your eighth inning setup guy, your lefty situational guy, and then go to the ninth inning, you know, if that was the case, then maybe you'd be looking in different directions. But
I will say, as a Dodger fan, I've watched Kenley, Dave Roberts. Look, I mean, yes, there have been people who have cheated the Dodgers out of World Series. They still would have won at least one of those World Series if Dave Roberts didn't try to make Kenley Jansen go two innings.
You're not wrong. I'd say
So you're right. There's a world of difference between Lee Smith closing out the eighth and the ninth, and Kenley Jansen can't close out the eighth and the ninth.
Just to give you a little bit of an idea before we get to five burning questions, right now Billy Wagner is currently sixth all-time in saves, 422. Billy Wagner on this year's Hall of Fame ballot just got 73 of 210 votes. That's just 34% of the vote. All right. So if you want to know kind of where it's at, Billy Wagner is slowly making progress and might get in by his seventh or eighth ballot. And Craig Kimbrel is still how many saves below him? You got Wagner at 422, Kimbrel at 346.
76, I mean, is that what it
70,
is?
70, 80 away, and Kimbrel can't keep the ball in the park right now.
Yeah.
So it's not looking promising that Craig Kimbrel is going to be a Hall of Famer. I'll leave it at that. All right, let's find out how we break this tie up now. Tyler versus Will, it's happening now on Five Burning Questions.
Head-to-head, toe-to-toe, mono-a-mono. It's time for Five Burning Questions. Brought to you by Life Safety Inspections. Saving lives one extinguisher at a time. It's not just a motto, it's how we do business.
All right, is the SEC making the right decision postponing the start of fall camp?
Yeah, they are. Listen, you got to figure out what you can do to try to contain what's happening in the Southeast right now when it comes to positive COVID tests. And look, now with the start of college football being pushed back to the 26th, you can slow down the start of fall camp just by a hair and see if there's any more positivity that comes out of this. The fewer positive numbers, the better it is for us moving forward. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, the season's starting later. So, yes, why not? It's also you get a few more extra weeks of workout time that you missed during the summer. So, no, this is absolutely the right decision. Let's see what it looks like when students are on campus, and let's see if we need to postpone this thing, rethink the schedule, try to figure out some type of bubble situation for college football players, as difficult as that might be. Let's see what this looks like once students get on campus. Yes, the SEC, I think, has been right on this all along. You should delay these decisions until you have to make these decisions, but just make sure you have these contingency plans in place so that you know what you do based on different scenarios.
What should the NCAA do about Colorado State and new coach Steve Adazio allegedly trying to bury COVID-19 symptoms and tests?
They should pressure Colorado State to bring in an independent investigator, and they should send their compliance office directly to Colorado State. Tomorrow they should be on campus, and they should be having conversations. They should be pressuring for an independent investigation into what's happened at Colorado State. They should do player interviews anonymously and things like that. They should do everything they can and turn over every rock to find out the truth about this Colorado State situation and then show cause anyone involved.
No, I agree with everything that Will said on top of. If you do not find hard evidence, though, you can't just walk in and clean house. Clearly, they're not going to do that. You've got to make sure you have some type of evidence. And if there are more than 10, 15 whistleblowers out there and it's starting to add up, you might want to consider Colorado State just blowing it out just so there isn't any uneasy, you know, aura or anything hanging above everybody's head in the room.
Today is Patrick Ewing's 58th birthday. Is Ewing a top five center in NBA history?
It's Patrick Ewing's name, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Wilt Chamberlain, Shaq, Hakeem, and Bill Russell. No, he's not. I love Patrick Ewing. Patrick Ewing's one of my favorite Knicks of all time. But I know what numbers look like, and I know what his field of play looks like. If you extended this to probably top 10, then I can put Walton on the list. I can put Ewing and David Robinson on this list. But you said top 5. Pat Ewing is not a top 5 center of all time.
No, he's at number 8. He's the 5 that you just mentioned. Start with Kareem, then go to Shaq, then Wilt, in my opinion. Hakeem Olajuwon, Bill Russell. I would put David Robinson and Moses Malone ahead of him as well. But he would be number 8 on that list for me.
Today is National Oyster Day. Thumbs up or thumbs down to raw oysters?
So this is a tentative thumbs up. You don't just eat any raw oyster that you get handed, for gosh sakes. You're not going to eat raw oysters at a fast food restaurant or from a food truck, probably. but raw oysters at a real seafood place on the beach where you know it didn't have to go more than 35 miles on ice before it made it to the restaurant, then yes, raw oysters are fantastic. Good for the testosterone, for what people say. So eat you about 30 raw oysters. Have leg day.
Oysters, raw oysters with a little Tabasco sauce and crackers, saltine on them. Delicious. Absolutely delicious. And I'll tell you right now, if you want some oysters that are in town, some delicious ones, I know one in downtown and I know one out in West Knoxville. I'm not going to mention them. I'm just going to say, what's up? You know, there's a certain chain of restaurants in town. They on ice can give you some delicious oysters and swordfish if you're looking to try to spend a little bit of bucks.
Yeah, I will say again, don't get raw oysters from a drive-thru. That's a bad decision.
Believe it or not, some of the best oysters I ever had was when I was in Iowa and I got them from a Mexican restaurant. It was supposed to be a joke.
Those were oysters.
No. They certainly were oysters, and it was a joke. It was supposed to be kind of like a, hey, you lost a bet, now you have to eat these. That and their crab nachos, absolutely phenomenal.
There we go.
There you go. It's just not every day. I'm being told now that those were called Rocky Mountain oysters. Those weren't actual oysters. Okay, cool.
All right. We're now up to 50 NFL players who have opted out of the upcoming season. Over under 75 players will opt out of this upcoming NFL campaign.
The total 75, that's a good number. I'm going to take the over because life's too short to bet the under. So I'm going to simply say that you take the over here because just when I think I have an idea and as unpredictable as COVID has been, yeah, I'm just going to shoot the over on this one.
Yeah, so the NFL changed the opt-out deadline to tomorrow at 4 o'clock. I don't know if people paid attention to that. We're not going to get 25 players by tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And let's be very real. They changed that so that fewer players will opt out. That's because too many players were opted out for their liking. So they changed it. Now, while I like the fact that Ivins almost went Roddy Piper on us and said, just when you think you know the answers, I changed the questions. But it didn't quite get there. So we will see under. It will be under 75. We will not have 25 more players between now and 4 o'clock tomorrow.
And that's the reason Will gets to win, because I was waiting to...
Come on.
The deadline's at 4 o'clock tomorrow. And so if it wasn't at 4 o'clock tomorrow, I agree with you, Tyler, because we've seen it at such a rapid pace, then why not take the over?
You really think they're going to hold people accountable to that number come the season if COVID continues to just run rampant?
Well, I mean, for right now, that's the deadline. I don't think we're going to see 25... more players opt out before 4 o'clock tomorrow.
And it is dirty as crap that they did that, too.
For sure.
It is so unbelievably dirty that they moved that up. Instead of letting people, let's see what camp looks like. Let me see if I feel comfortable with what's going on here. Let me see what the situation is. You know what I mean? So it's really dirty that they did that. At the same time, though, it does mean that we're not going to see the opt-outs.
Ooh, they have oysters on the half shell at one of my favorite seafood bars here in town. You have to check
it's
out
called
the Catherine oyster
D's.
Card for fresh. Dude, I'm going to be honest with you. I have a guilty pleasure out there. People mention all the time, you know, hey, you know, if there's a place you... And I'm just going to say it because in college, I used to like to go there all the time. And people were like, dude, why do you like going to this restaurant? Like, it's so oily. It's greasy. I feel like my feet are slipping out from under me. I don't know what it is. Presentation is never great. And, you know, it's probably just a couple of times a year. Will, you want to learn something new about your co-host? I absolutely love Long John Silver. Okay,
Long John Silver's is fantastic. That's why you love it, because it's delicious.
You get the
crunchies. Like delicious
you get the crunch. You like the crunchies in the bottom of the box. I like their corn. I like their hush puppies. Like, if they told me right now, we've got oysters on the half shell at Long John Silver's, I would be camping out like it was Black Friday.
Hey, shout out to Captain D's as well. I like them, too.
No Captain D's on Merchants Road. Across
hey,
the casual
Chapman
pint.
Highway in Sono, man. That was that used to be my jam.
Oh, man. Now I may, man, you just got all the Merchants Roads fields this morning. So, Kaner, seeing that you're just handing out W's, you're going to hand out trips over to Chesapeake's out there off of down in my neck of the woods, right there off of Cedar Bluff. You're going to take us to get some oysters on a half shell?
Maybe if you're good. We'll see at the end of the week.
Yeah, really? Can I get the swordfish, too? Remember that one time I took you for all-you-can-eat wings and you haven't paid me back yet?
You didn't pay that day.
The heck I didn't. You and Skip McMillan?
Skip paid that day, didn't he?
Oh, you are so full of it. I'm not arguing with you on the air. How dare you?
Weren't they like 10-cent wings? And Skip's like, I got it. Seriously, I'm not even trying to make... Like, I thought that's how it went down.
No, the place with the owl, all-you-can-eat wings on Wednesday.
Yeah.
You have the boneless with the curly fries.
Yeah, 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 I remember.
Nah, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Whatever. I just, all right. You know, just keep my bourbon, I guess. You're playing on it anyway.
It's sitting right now being guarded by my dog. All right, so keep that in mind. Murphy is staring at it, wanting it in his dish, and I've told him no like 18 times. Other side, final segment to hour number two of the program. We got to get to the wheel of content, and you probably just heard five burning questions. You're waking up this morning going, Steve Adazio, what's the former Florida OC up to now? Not good things in Fort Collins, I can promise you that. We'll discuss in hour three, 99.1. You're listening to the Esports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Some scores in Major League Baseball from Tuesday. The Braves got back in the win column, a 10-1 thumping of the Blue Jays. The Marlins, who were finally back in action after a 9-day layoff, shut out the Orioles 4-0. The Cubs scraped past the Royals 5-4. Cincinnati fell to Cleveland 4-2. And the Dodgers down the Padres 5-2. Scores from the NBA bubble. Miami defeated Boston 112-106. The Suns edged the Clippers 117-115. Houston came up short against Portland 110-102. The Mavs outlasted the Kings 114-110 in overtime. Brooklyn pulled off a massive upset over Milwaukee 119-116. And the Pacers down the Magic 120-109. And qualifying scores from the NHL. Out west, the Preds even things up against the Coyotes following a 4-2 win. The Flames beat down the Jets 6-2 to go up 2-1 in the series. The Canucks even things up as well against the Wild, 4-3 victory. In the East, the Hurricanes finish off the Rangers with a 4-1 shutout. The Islanders go up 2-0 on the Panthers following a 4-2 win. And the Maple Leafs even things up as well against the Blue Jackets, a 3-0 win yesterday. Again, the SEC moved the start of fall football practices from Friday to August 17th. Following the conference's announcement to play a 10-game league-only schedule that'll kick off September 26th. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion for education in Tennessee. 749, get a check of the roads with Pete Michaels Traffic. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
You're late.
The starting lineup with Tyler and Will, 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
That's the final segment to hour number two of the starting lineup. Hi, good morning, good morning. Beautiful sunrise here in East Tennessee. I can tell because based on where I sit in my office and the sunrise, it's right here. I got that sunband right there across my eyes right now. I got to move the monitor around a little bit. Tyler Ivins, Will West, Caters back in the Budweiser Studios on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Wheel of Content time, Eric Kane. Where are we heading?
All right, so today is National Work Like a Dog Day. So when I say dog, what do you guys think of? I mean, it can literally be anything. When I say dog, is it the dog you currently have? Is it a mascot? Is it a movie? What say you?
Well, yeah, if you're allowing me to bring, I mean, I'm looking at Murphy right now. So Murphy's sitting here like a bum laying down in the middle of the hardwood floor. So I'd rather tell him to get up and go get a job to help support me here in this household. But if you're telling me just dog in general, both just sports or pop culture, I mean, yeah, Smokey comes to mind. Obviously, you got a blue tick hound here on Rocky Top. I will say, though, and maybe it's because it was on television last night. Maybe because it was, I automatically think, do you remember the movie Beethoven?
I do, yeah.
You remember St. Bernard Beethoven?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that movie was on last night, so. Beethoven, as a kid, I used to always see it in the kids section when I was at my local Blockbuster or Hollywood Video, and I was like, oh, I love those movies. So Beethoven comes to mind, and of course, can you name another dog who solves mysteries better than Scooby-Doo, right?
I just think of dogs. I think of the dog park. I think of Lakeshore. I think of the dog park over off North Shore. So just when I think of work, what did you just say dog, what do you think of? That's what I think of, just rolling with the puppy, because that's fewer things in life better than just kicking it with your puppy. Now, if you say work like a dog from a sports standpoint, the first thing that comes to my mind is going to be, like if I'm just going to say for Tennessee, it'd be Emmanuel Mosley. That'd be the first thing that I would look at. Emmanuel Mosley was not nearly big enough to play at Tennessee,
right,
much less start in the National Football League and look at what that guy's done, right? Contributor, big-time contributor to a Super Bowl team last year. So I would think of something like that. Guys who are undersized, who bust their hump to get it done, and it's the work ethic that gets them where they are. So that's what I would think from a sports standpoint, is people that don't have the athletic ability, but are able to go out and just bust their hump and are able to go be good, or even at times you see guys who are great that are able to do it.
Can we put Alex Smith in that category from coming back from that gruesome leg injury?
That's working like a dog. He was an elite athlete. And for the people I know that, God love them, I've got some friends who played in the league and things like that that are just completely oblivious to the fact that you're a different level athlete than any other human being that's on the earth, right? Like, no other people can do the things physically that you can do. But I think sometimes they don't realize, because it does take hard work to get where you're at, even if you are an elite athlete. But when I see those guys that are 5 foot nothing, 100 nothing, and they just go out there and root either way into an NFL job or a Major League Baseball job or something like that, in the NBA, one guy that my favorite basketball player of all time is Paul Pierce, right? But the reason why is Paul Pierce, once Paul Pierce lost a step, that's when he became elite. He wasn't elite before that, but it was once he lost athletic ability because he got older. That's when you saw Paul Pierce be great, because he just worked on his footwork. And he and Kobe, I guess, were kind of like frenemies or whatever, and they would just work, sit in Pauley Pavilion, play on one-on-one against each other, just working on footwork over and over and over again to get their footwork right. And when I see guys like that to get better once they lose athletic ability, once they lose a step, that's what I think of like work like a dog, is where you've just got, you know, mama mentality, clear level of focus like that, and you're just going to bust your hump to get better every time.
Can I ask you a question? If I told you to narrow it down to dog mascots in the SEC, who's got the worst?
The worst?
Is it Ugga? I can't. I mean,
it's got to be Ugga.
It probably is Ugga.
I mean, just lays there, does nothing. I mean, it's definitely Ugga.
Yeah. Oh, laid on a bag of ice all the time?
Yeah. Like, I can't really show shade to the collie at A&M. I can't really show shade to the bulldog down in MSU. I just can't. Oh, goodness. Caner, is this where we're going now? We're going Bahamian to wrap things up. Apparently, I'm being told by the song that I need to wrap things up. I will tell you, if you want to see a cute dog, especially when it comes to an awesome name, do yourself a favor today, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to go look up Yale's mascot. His name, Handsome Dan.
Yes.
Like, why don't I just name Murphy Handsome Murphy? That's your name. Hey, Murph, that's your name moving forward. If anybody calls you just Murph, Murphy, Murph and Turf, your name is Handsome. Can I even fit all that on a dog tag? Handsome Murphy? Handsome Smokey. Let's start doing that moving forward. All right, Walls fans, let's petition to get that changed to Handsome Murphy.
You know, we're looking for another dog. I tried to convince the girls that we should name this dog after the next few dogs we get after Mortal Kombat characters. So let's get a boy dog this time and call up Johnny Cage, but they're not rolling with that.
Why do I immediately say Sub-Zero? I was like, man, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. You go get a husky with like deep blue eyes, you call it Sub-Zero. That's a rad dog name.
What about Goro? Did that do anything for you?
I don't know if that's doing anything for me.
This not doing anything for you? All right. I'm seeing that you're not
getting
the whole letter.
Luke Kane would be a pretty fantastic one.
Hour 3 of the program coming up. We got to get the start pitch cut. What's happening in Fort Collins with the Colorado State program and a lot more.
And we have our first program that has, I mean, FBS football program that has shut down football for the year.
What? Breaking news on the other side to get to right here. Tyler, Will, 99.1. The starting lineup continues next on the Sports Animal. Who let the dogs out?